Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. World leaders are gathering in Germany for the annual Group of Seven summit. One of the major topics of discussion is the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine. NPR's Rob Schmitz reports G7 leaders are seeking a deal to impose a price cap on Russian oil and pipeline gas to curb Moscow's ability to finance its war in Ukraine.
The idea here would be for the U.S. and Europe to set a fixed price for Russian oil that is below the market rate so that Russia would lose revenue for its war in Ukraine and so that inflationary pressures here in the West recede a little. The argument among G7 leaders is that, at least in the short term, Russia doesn't have many alternative markets to sell its oil, so would have to agree to a price cap. But it's clear there is demand for Russian oil in Asia, India, and China, for example, so it's unclear whether this would work.
That's NPR's Rob Schmitz reporting from Germany. The legal fight over abortion is now shifting to individual states. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade is expected to prompt lawsuits in a number of states in the coming months.
The court's decision has set off a wave of legal uncertainty in states around the country. In Michigan, a law dating to 1931 is currently on hold by a judge. Wisconsin's ban on abortion is even older. It was enacted in 1849. The state's Democratic governor says he will do, quote, everything we can in my power to fight it. Voters in Kansas will decide in August whether to amend their state constitution to expressly allow an abortion ban, which has been rejected by judges in the past. And in Utah, a trigger law went into effect Friday, but it's already been challenged by a Planned Parenthood lawsuit, which argues the ban violates Utah's state constitution. Similar lawsuits are likely to be filed elsewhere in the coming days and weeks. Becky Sullivan, NPR News.
A federal jury has awarded $21 million to the family of a pregnant 16-year-old who was shot dead by police in the San Francisco Bay Area. Anace Ofele Lino from member station KQED has more.
Elena Mondragon was a passenger in a car when Fremont officers tasked with arresting the driver opened fire and hit Mondragon 5 times. At the time, Fremont police said the driver of the car was apparently wanted by police. Attorney Melissa Nold represented Mondragon's family.
I think that they thought that they were going to go to trial and prove some sort of a point that the officers had the right to do this. And they have the right to take the man into custody, but that doesn't mean that you have the right to do it in just any way you conceive.
The jury found both the officers and the man driving the car at fault. The city of Fremont will likely supply around $10 million of the award. For NPR News, I'm Anace Ofelia Lino.
You're listening to NPR News in Washington. The Italian billionaire and owner of Ray-Ban sunglasses has died. Leonardo Del Vecchio, who revolutionized the eyewear industry, was 87. Reporter Adam Rainey reports his company announced his death in a statement today.
Del Vecchio launched his Luxottica eyewear company in 1961 in a small village in northeastern Italy's Dolomite Mountains. At the time of his death, he was chairman of the world's largest eyewear company with more than 180,000 employees around the globe. His company acquired Ray-Ban sunglasses in 1999 and merged with a French firm in 2018. The combined powerhouse, EssilorLuxottica, not only manufactured sunglass brands, including Oakley and Persol, but sold them at its sunglass hut shops around the world. Del Vecchio built his fortune after being born into poverty and left at an orphanage as a small child. The Bloomberg Billionaires Index puts Del Vecchio's worth at more than $25 billion. For NPR News, I'm Adam Rainey in Rome.
Search and rescue operations continue in southeastern Afghanistan after a powerful earthquake struck the region last week. Afghan officials say more than 1,000 people were killed. The country's health ministry says people are in desperate need of clean water, warning that many villages are at risk for outbreaks of cholera. The United Nations and several other countries are rushing aid to the affected areas, with additional assistance expected to arrive in the coming days. I'm Windsor Johnston, and you're listening to NPR News in Washington.